Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
If you got your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to talk about the light this morning. The title of the message is going to be, Let Your Light. Let Your Light. Matthew chapter 5, very, very familiar verse of Scripture. In fact, I'd say most Christians have this memorized. Verse 16, Jesus is talking here. He says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I want to look at some of these words as always. And I want to look at some of these key words, but the very first word I want us to look at is this word let. It means to allow or to permit something through an action. That's a little word let, but it has a punch, doesn't it? It means to allow or to permit something through your action. These other words I want to look at, though, and of course the biggest one being the word light. In the Greek, the word light is translated phos in the original language, phos. And here's the definitions of this one little word, light. It means the light of God in a believer, which produces the following. It produces truth, it produces knowledge and spiritual purity, and is exposed to the view of all to see for the power of understanding, especially in the area of morality, as well as all spiritual truth. That's what this word light, phos, the light of God means in the original language. So he says, let your phos, let your light so shine. We look at this word shine. In the Greek is translated lampo. Lampo, which from where we get the word lamp. And here's what it means. It means to radiate with brilliancy and give light. I wonder how many Christians today, Brother Dennis, are radiating Jesus Christ and giving light. It's a big question, isn't it? Then we come to this little word, see. It says, let your light so shine before men. That, speaking of the world, people who have not yet been saved, they're unbelievers. It's not speaking of backsliders because they know better, but it's speaking of out-and-out sinners who've never come to the knowledge of the truth. Let your light so shine before them type of people so that they may see. This little word see is translated eido, eido, and it means to notice, to pay attention to, and examine, to know and perceive and understand what is real truth. So when we say we want them to see our good works, we want them to see us, first thing a person's got to do when they see something is they have to notice it, right? When you see something, it catches your attention, you notice it. But then in the life of a Christian, the next thing that comes into play with this original Greek definition, they notice it, but then they're going to examine it, okay? Now, remember what Jesus said? By their fruits ye shall know them. A good tree brings forth, and a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Okay, so but now when they notice us, the next thing they're going to do, Brother Dennis, they're going to examine, they're going to see, is this person what they say they are? Are they the real deal? They're going to, there's going to be a process of examination that goes on there. So they're going to pay attention to that. And then, and through that, when they see those good works, then they're going to know, they're going to perceive with their mind, they're going to understand that there's a difference, Brother Eric, from what the world says is good versus what God says is good. They're going to recognize the real truth. There is a Christian rock group that back in the early 70s, late 80s, by the name of Petra, and they went on even past the 80s, but they have this one song out called Angel of Light, and I love that song because it has a very powerful message. And the chorus of it says, Angel of Light, I see you shine in the night, but you only bring darkness to my soul. Angel of Light, you're telling me wrong is right, but I won't let your evil take control. If there's ever a time, Brother Eddie, that we've ever lived in where the world is saying and calling everything that God's word calls an abomination, they're calling it good, Someone told me today in the government they're dealing with a law of somebody's trying to get a bill passed where they can completely silence the Christian. And if anybody's saying anything about Jesus Christ, that they can put you in jail or worse. Jesus spoke of these days because he said the day would come when they will call good and evil. Here we go. And that's exactly what we see every day in the world, not just in our nation, but in the world as a whole. People are glamorizing things that are an abomination. They're normalizing it. They're embracing it. And anyone who opposes it by the word of God, we are deemed as haters, that we are not tolerant. That's one of the words they like to use. You're not tolerant. Well, when the word of God says it's wrong, it's wrong. I'm going to love you like what Sister Crystal was saying in Sunday school. If you're a drug addict, I'm going to put my arm around your neck and tell you I love you. If you're a drunkard, if you're a prostitute, if you're hooked on pornography, if you're a transvestite, if you're a homosexual, if you're a lesbian, if you're any of these things that the word of God calls an abomination, I'm going to put my arm around your neck, Brother Eddie, and I'm going to say, I love you as a person. But because I love you, I got to tell you the truth. This lifestyle you're living according to the word of God, not Jimmy, but according to the word of God, if you don't turn from it and repent, it's going to take you straight to a devil's hell. And that's not what Jesus wants. Somebody, I guess, put a post on our church page and said that this little short, fat fella right here mentions the devil too much from the pulpit. Apparently, they haven't read the four Gospels because Jesus dealt with that an awful lot. But how many knows that when Pastor Jimmy talks about the devil, most of the time, I don't even say the devil. I call him old Splitfoot because I don't even think he deserves to have a name because of what he's did against God and what he continues to do against the church. But here's the problem. This is the problem I see in that kind of thing when people go on there and they feel like giants, by the way, when they're behind a computer. You know, they'll say anything they want to say. They'll be big and, you know, Brother Mark, they'll make their boasts and all these things. But face to face, they'd never do it. And most of them anyway. But here's the problem with that, Brother Jason. People that do those type of things, it's because they're convicted. The word of God convicts them. Hits too close to home on things that they're doing. You know the thing that breaks my heart more than anything else. Now, I was just talking about the sinner. Let's go back to the church for a minute. Let's go back, Brother Creed, to people that know better. I've got them in my family. My mom would be turning over in her grave right now if she's seen what some of them are doing. I shared a prediction with you this morning, some of you, what I told my mom back when we pastored our first church, and it has come to pass. Be that as it may, we're living in dark times. And we're living in times, Sister Darlene, where people are calling good evil. They're calling evil good. They're trying to justify. God laid a thought on my mind. I thought at first it was to preach a message, but I think he wanted me to include it in this, so that's what I'm going to do. But the thought that went through my mind was, life is hard, and why is life hard? Well, I'll tell you why. God gave me the answer on that. Life is hard because God does not want us to get attached to this life. He's not making it cozy for us, Brother Mick. We're supposed to feel uncomfortable here. Because this world is, how's the song say, we're strangers and pilgrims passing through. We're not citizens of this world. We're citizens in the natural, but spiritually, Brother Eddie, we're not citizens of this world. And so that's why this life is hard for the Christian, because God doesn't want us getting comfortable. But sadly, so many professing Christians today are doing just that. Their light is beginning to flicker. And in some cases, it's a shame, but in some cases, it's going completely out. But they're going to notice us. They're going to pay attention. They're going to see the real truth. Then we come to this word good. Actually, the two words together, good works, but we're going to break them down. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What does this word good mean? In the original language, it's translated kolos. Listen to this. It means that which is excellent, that which is useful and commendable in nature, in one's nature, and in one's characteristics. Think of that. The word good here in this particular usage means that which is excellent, that which is of good use, useful to the master's use, that which is commendable. In other words, people aren't going to be able to point a finger at you and rebuke you or have something bad to say about you. You're going to be commendable in both your nature and in your characteristics. There's one thing that's one of the worst testimonies I've ever seen out of a professing Christian. When they go around touting that they're a child of God, but they've got the most rotten attitude you've ever seen. We were at Cracker Barrel a couple months ago, And I'll be honest with you, Brother Mark, my heart was broke because one of the ladies I saw was from another church, and I never thought she was this way. And they were, you know, how people get in line at Cracker Barrel, you're waiting to put your name in. And this other lady was ahead of her, and she just come around and gotten ahead of this lady. And the lady, very politely, you could tell she wasn't a Christian, but she had more of the spirit and love of God than this professing Christian did. And she said, excuse me, ma'am, I was next. And she says, no, you wasn't. No, you wasn't. Well, we ain't going to fight about it, but you know you wasn't. I was in line. I mean, she was just real condescending, and I can't remember everything she said to this lady, but I told Crystal, I thought, when I seen that, it broke my heart, because this is supposed to be a fellow believer who's worried about one position in line, and none of us look like we're going to starve to death over here in America, you know. And I'm thinking, just, you know, we're talking about standing in line, for heaven's sakes, you know. But there's something wrong when you're a professing Christian, but your attitude and your nature are like the devil. They got a spirit in them, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. I'll just leave it at that. But good means excellent. You're going to have the excellent, useful, commendable things people are going to be able to say about you. Your nature is going to be right. Your characteristics are going to be that of Christ. That they may see your good works. This word works goes with the word good. It's translated in the original language, in case you want to know, ergon. And it means your business by which you're occupied. Number two definition, any product or anything that's accomplished by your hand or your mind. And number three, one's actions and deeds. So they're beholding our good works, those things that are useful, commendable, and those things that we do, whether it's for a living or that we do with our hands, that we imagine in our mind, or what they see out of our actions. How many has heard that old saying, actions speak louder? I don't even have to go there this morning, do I? Some of you are already laughing. You're thinking, oh boy, here he goes. He's going to get on his soapbox. No, I'm going to spare you that. I'm going to leave my soapbox back here this morning. And finally, we come to the biggest word of all in this scripture, the word glorify. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. This word glorify in the original language is translated doxazo, and it means to praise, to extol, to magnify, to honor, and I love this last line, to celebrate Jesus. That's why we come to church. I mean, other than the small things like, you know, the church got to be taken care of, so we receive tithe and offerings, which I hate because I'm not about money. Most of the time I forget to take up the offering. But when we come to the house of God, we come for one reason, to worship Jesus Christ and to praise him. God's not pleased when people come into an assembly with preconceived and ulterior motives and notions. Some people come into a church thinking they're going to try to change the doctrine, or they're going to confront someone in their teaching and openly in a congregation disagree with them. It's never good to openly rebuke anybody, let alone an elder, but anybody for that matter. I always tell people, if you don't agree with something somebody says, by all means go to them, but go to them in private. Don't do it in front of people. God's not pleased with that. And furthermore, and I'm speaking from family now, and Crystal will back me up on this, even though it's her own daddy, I never could understand why James T. Arp, being a full-fledged Baptist, was bent on going to Pentecostal churches when he didn't believe or agree with speaking in tongues. And we'd have those gully washer services, this little short, fat feller, one of them, and the power of God would hit me, and I'd run the aisles speaking tongues, and he'd always have something to say about it. Finally, one day, I got tired of it. And I looked at him, I said, can I ask you a question? And I'm not being a smart aleck either, because I've been known to be a smart aleck back in the day. I learned it from my wife at home. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't. I'm in trouble now, boy. But I said, can I ask you a question? He's like, sure, JR. He always called me JR. JR, you can ask me. And I hated that, by the way. I said, why do you come to our church? He goes, what? I said, why are you in our church? I said, now, mind you, I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm being honest here. He goes, I don't quite understand your question. I said, why do you, a Baptist, come to a Pentecostal church? Well, yeah, and he started hem-hawing around. He talked about Brother PD, Brother Paul Perdue. We call him Pastor PD. He really liked Brother Paul. I said, let me ask you another question. I said, do you think God's pleased with you being a Baptist, not agreeing with tongues, coming into a Pentecostal church trying to line somebody up? And it took him back. He said, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. He said, I never really thought about it. But after that conversation, Brother Dennis, I never heard another word out of him about tongues. And he come to me later and he said, you know, you're right. He said, no matter who it is or what denomination it is, if you can't be all right with their doctrine, guess what you need to do? See them doors out there? They swing both ways. And there's plenty of churches around that'll have you. I mean, there's all kinds of denominations out there. I won't go into some of them, but the ones that are biblically right, thank God for our Baptist brothers. I'll tell you something about, I've said this many times from this pulpit, and I'll probably say it to the day I die, but the Baptists have every evangelical denomination beat up and down when it comes to winning souls. They're soul winners, man, and that's what it's all about. When I was working with Crystal at SPI, I worked there for about 11 years or 12 years, something like that, and I had the head of the company, and he's one of them pie-in-the-sky dudes, you know, everything. He's face-to-face with people, and he tells them stuff that really might be considered more a lie than anything, but anyway, he come up to me one day, and he said, What's your mission statement, Pastor Jimmy? This is when I was getting ready to, I just started pastoring our first church. He said, what's your mission statement? I didn't miss a beat, Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Well, yeah, I get that, but what's your mission statement, Pastor Jimmy? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise. Well, we did that 3 or 4 times, and finally he left me alone. I said, you know, it ain't about anything else. I almost said his name. It ain't about anything else. I said, this is the great commission Jesus gave. He didn't say, go build a big monstrosity structure church that'll seat 3,000 or 4,000 people, which I'm not against that, by the way. Get you a big fat bank account. Have 7 knocked out 3-piece suits with crocodile shoes like Brother Creed's got and stand behind the pulpit. No. It's not what he said at all. What did he say? Somebody help me out. Go ye and what? Preach the what? The gospel to who? Oh, you mean it didn't just say the Pentecostals? That got him, didn't it, Brother Mick? That's right, Brother Eddie, to all people, to the whole world. So much for a mission statement. I'm talking about the light this morning. Amen. So all of this will bring glory to God and praise to God. And that's why we come. I guess I did get on my soapbox a little bit, didn't I? That's why we come into the house of God. That's the only reason we come in the house of God, is to praise and celebrate Jesus. Shouldn't be for any other reason. Now, I would ask the question would be, in what condition is our light this morning? What is our light? What is the condition of that light in our life this morning? And Jesus addressed this quite a bit. I just took a handful of the many that Jesus dealt with, but these are some of the more key scriptures. In Luke chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus said, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Now, that's kind of like an oxymoron, isn't it? But he's warning them, don't let that light become dark. How many's ever seen a candle? And when it's strong, it's got a constant flame. But when it's getting close to burning out, what does it do? It starts flickering. And there's a lot of Christians today that's flickering. They're about ready to burn out. And Jesus is cautioning here about our light, that we don't let it become dark. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus says again, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Not flickering, but burning. In St. John chapter 12, Jesus continues. He said unto them, yet a little while, and the light is with you. He's speaking of himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he's going. So while you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. Amen. So now, what causes the light to flicker to begin with? So Jesus gave the warning about not letting it get that way. What causes it? In Mark chapter 8, Jesus gave the overall big reason. And underneath that, I'm going to name a few things. And hopefully I'll get through all this morning. If not, I'll make you a promise. McDonald's and Burger King and all them places that make them juicy sandwiches, I promise you, they won't get cold, okay? It'll be fresh when you get there. Amen. But in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus is continuing. He says, "Whosoever, therefore," and here it is, "shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation." Can I get an amen on that? Amen. "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his fathers with the holy angels." So basically what he's saying is the number one cause of the lights burning out is because people begin to become ashamed. The pressure that's mounting in the world today, and I just spoke of it earlier, it's even in our government right now. And I remember Brother Francis and Sister Maximilia talking about the corruption over there in Kenya. And so it's not just in the United States of America. But what happens, Brother Eddie, is the world puts pressure on the Christian and they become ashamed of the gospel. Scared, Brother Dennis, to defend themselves and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they become ashamed. Number one faction. Now, the Word of God continues with this whole ashamed thing in Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 20. The writer says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing," I love this, "I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain." This is the Apostle Paul speaking here, and basically what he's saying, there was something going on in his physical body. The Word of God does not tell us what it is. Paul referred to it as a thorn in the flesh. But whatever it was, in this particular passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is beginning to wonder here if it's going to take his life. And that's why he makes this statement. You notice here at the end, he says, "So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, that whether it be by life," in other words, whether he allows me to live, he heals me, Brother Ronnie, "or by death," if he just takes me like he did Mom. "For me to live, to be healed, is Christ." Christ is going to be glorified for that. "But for me to die, that's gain." Why, Brother Jimmy? Because now I'm in the presence of Almighty God. I'll never know another pain. I'll never know another heartache. I'll never know another sickness or any of these things. Because to be in the presence of God, Brother Eric, the Bible says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, if that don't excite you, your wood's wet. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul continues. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed." He's still dealing with this topic, ashamed. So in the first one in Philippians, he's dealing with people become ashamed because of their body. How many times have you heard it? You've heard Christians, I don't understand. Why God healed brother so-and-so or God healed sister so-and-so, but he didn't heal this one. And so they begin to become ashamed when they talk to other people about healing. You know, we don't understand the mind of God. We're not God. We didn't give the gifts. He did. And it's his business. Who he decides to heal here or who he decides to call on home, that's his business. So that was the first thing, dealing with afflictions that brings about a person to have to be ashamed. But here in 2 Timothy 1, there's a different topic here as relating to being ashamed. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." So he's saying, a lot of times people become ashamed, Brother Dennis, because of persecution. He continues Peter continues in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him rather glorify God on this behalf." Like you've heard me say so many times standing up here, some of the things that our fellow brothers and sisters went through, How many's ever heard of the book, Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs? There's one or two hands. If you ever want to see what real persecution of Christianity is, read that book. I cried reading it. I mean, it goes all the way back from biblical times all the way to present. And they keep doing new editions of it because more and more are being added. And here's a kicker for you. This blew my mind. There's way more martyrs today than there ever was back in the day. It just gets worse and worse. But he's saying glorify God rather, and don't be ashamed. In 1 John chapter 2, John the Beloved says, and now, little children, he gives the answer. He gives the solution. Abide in him, Jesus, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Think of that. All these different reasons I just gave you, John the Beloved is saying you don't have to worry about the day when you stand before Jesus and being ashamed because you was guilty of being ashamed of him because of all these other things, because of bodily afflictions, because of persecutions, all these different things we've been talking about. And then going back to Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. No man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you've kept my word, and because of that, and you've not denied my name, because of that, because you've kept my word, the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, he says, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Two things here. Number one, verse 10 is another one of those verses of scripture that speaks of the rapture of the church. Let me read it to you again in case you weren't paying attention. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, this is Jesus talking, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And then he says the second thing. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This verse is again speaking of reward. We talked about that this morning, didn't we, Brother Dennis? And there's going to be some people that are going to be sorry on that day, Brother Eddie, because their reward is going to be given to someone else. Jesus gave parables about that. Take the talent from the one that had the one and give it to the one that had the ten. Can you imagine, Brother Mick, how sorrowful that person is going to be? But we need to be very clear this morning and let our light, allow it to shine. I'm almost done here this morning. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, the Lord speaking through him in chapter 42, God says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Now, he was speaking of Jesus who would come, but it wasn't just for Jesus, because after Jesus came, Jesus had some words of his own, and this is what he spoke to the apostles in Acts chapter 13. For so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And the Gentiles is just another word for the world, people that have not been saved and become a spiritual Jew. And speaking of that, in conclusion, as Crystal comes to the piano, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul brings it all full circle, in my opinion, in these verses of Scripture. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and you rest in the law, and you make your boast of God, and you know his will, and you approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and you're confident that you yourself are a guide of the blind and a light of them that are in darkness, an instructor, rather, of the foolish, a teacher of babies, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. And here it is, these last two verses. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and that circumcision that is of the heart in the Holy Spirit and not in the law of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
change me. I'm not what I